T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We'll call this a segment with Mitch Lawrence of Sirius XM with the NBA. And Mitch, how the hey are you?
Steve, long time no talk. How you been?
And whose fault is that?
I don't know. I'm not going to assign any blame here. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, and I know you are. Because I listen to you every now and then, and you know from what's going on and what is now going on, starting tonight with the Pelicans and the Raptors and Hollywood, the two Hollywood teams, is the NBA season to be. And I understand, because I was reading from this the other day, Williamson not in the lineup and won't be. Yeah. Playing any basketball for the next 6 to 8 weeks. That is not that unusual. It's rare, is it not, when you have a number one choice overall not being able to start the season with his new team.
Yeah, very tough for, obviously, for Zion Williamson. I mean, here the Pelicans, you know, they had to trade Anthony Davis. That was bad for him, but the kind of silver lining in that was that they won the lottery, as all Knicks fans know. Here the Pelicans win the lottery. They jump up ahead of the Knicks and all these other teams, and they get this guy who looked like he might be a special player. The only problem is, you know, he's had these knee problems from high school. He had the knee problem at Duke only last February, Steve, and then, you know, he dominated in preseason. And then all of a sudden, he didn't travel here to New York to play against the Knicks the other day. And they were trying to downplay it, but it turns out he's got a torn meniscus in his knee. He's probably going to be out, you know, 2 months. It's the same knee, the same exact knee, the right knee, that he injured in that game against Carolina where he blew out his sneaker. So this is the worst thing for him. He's 19 years old. How's he going to deal with this? It's terrible for the franchise. And then, you know, the NBA is always about, they love their stars, as we know, and they love their established stars, the LeBrons, the Kevin Durants, but they also like the new blood. And he was representative of that, and a lot of people think he's going to have a big-time career. But now you have to wonder, you know, when he comes back, will he be diminished? His game is all based on power, explosion, you know, being a physical force. And we'll just have to see how that works out, but it's very tough to see that in a young guy I've met him, and he's, you know, by all accounts, he's a nice guy, a great guy, and he's somebody that the Pelicans want to build around.
And again, I mean, and such a big body, and again, with so much to learn, and he is not, from what I understand, the first number one overall choice, draft choice, to miss not only the beginning of the season. I know when Philadelphia drafted Ben Simmons, he missed the entire year.
Yeah.
And then we also, of course, and no Leonard with the Raptors. And what is it? Siakam. Siakam signed. What did he sign for? $180 million.
$130 million, I think. Yeah, he got. You know, he was one of these guys who, you know, Toronto. You know, they obviously they lost, you know, Kawhi Leonard, and this is a, you know, it's very rare for Steve to have a defending champ open a season and nobody's like scared of him, you know, because I mean,
sure.
When was the last time you saw that? Usually the defending champion has the Steph Currys, the LeBrons, the Kevin Durant, and they come back, and here's the situation where Toronto basically did a 1 year rental and they hit the jackpot because they won the title, but Kawhi, we all thought, a lot of us thought he was going to go back home, have a chance to play in Los Angeles, and he did. So what they have to do is a guy, a young kid like Siakam, who showed a lot of promise last year in the playoffs, was probably their second-best player. You know, a team like that needs to keep their players in the fold. And Siakam signed, I think he got $130 million the other day, so he's set. But, you know, what they're missing now is that guy who's, you know, they don't have the top 1, 2, or 3, 4, 5 player. You know, you could argue Kawhi's number one, number two, however you feel about it. And That's going to, you know, obviously that's a crusher for the franchise, but they got to raise their banner tonight, and that's great, and the players will, you know, get their rings. But and the Eastern Conference are still going to make the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but in terms of defending the title, that's too much to ask for a team that's now missing Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and of course, the Lakers now, as you allude to with Anthony Davis and the King, LeBronomania, did the Lakers... Have the Lakers leveraged their future for winning it right now, getting these two guys, the King and Anthony Davis?
Well, you know, they moved heaven and earth to get Anthony Davis. They gave up three players, you know, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. I think Josh Hart was one of them, too. And, you know, a ton of future assets, draft picks. So, yes, to get Anthony Davis. And now Anthony Davis, by the way, technically, Steve, he's a free agent after this season now. Hmm. A lot of us don't think he's going to leave Los Angeles because he wants to play there. He's got a home there. He wants to play with LeBron. I don't know if you remember this. A week after he got to L.A., he was up in Chicago doing some sort of a charity event, and they asked him about, hey, would you like to play for the Bulls? And he basically said, yeah, you know what? I might have to consider the Bulls. It's my hometown team, which was not the best answer. I don't think people in L.A. appreciated that because they did send so many assets. To get him, and you know, LeBron had a tough summer. Forget about Space Jam 2, which I know you're going to go run out and see, right?
But I think I've seen it.
How have you?
I'm embarrassed to admit that.
All right. And so, you know, LeBron is used to winning with two other stars. The titles he's won, whether it was a two in Miami or one back in Cleveland on his second tour of duty, Steve, as you know, he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami. He had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. And so, you know, he tried to get in free agency. They made a big run to get Kawhi Leonard, and they struck out. So LeBron now, you know, everybody's kind of paired up here. That's been obviously the big theme of the summer. You got Westbrook and Harden, Houston. You got Kawhi and Paul George in Clipperland. You've got LeBron and AD. And, you know, the players, you know, this is not like years ago where, you know, GMs and owners decided, at least GMs, executives decided how they were going to trade for guys and sign. Now, as you know, it's the players who have all the power. The one thing I will point out, you'll probably agree with me, is, you know, the players have all this power, and they've decided to join forces with these tandems. And let's say they don't work out. Let's say it doesn't work out in Houston. Well, you know, they put the team together, but they're not going to get fired. Who's going to get fired? It's going to be the GMs or the coaches, right?
Sure.
So this is great for the players, like a win-win. We get to play with our buddies, but we're not going to suffer the consequences because we're all under guaranteed contracts. So it is a players' league, and it's great for the players. And in terms of the Lakers, I think defensively that's going to be their big challenge, stopping people. LeBron has dedicated himself, Steve, to coming back off of last year. He had a really tough year. He got injured for the first time, really. Missed significant time, first time in his career. He'd been indestructible. And, you know, he and Anthony Davis offensively should be fine. LeBron thinks, you know, he's come out and said he's got to be a better leader. That's after he tried to trade about nine players for Anthony Davis during the year, alienated people in the locker room, and he wants to be a better player. And we'll see if he holds up. He's going to be 35. For me and you, that's still young. But for a basketball player, as you know, LeBron's got a lot of mileage on him. That is going to be something to watch out for. Whether he breaks down, whether he has injuries again, we'll see. But offensively, if everything's okay with him and Anthony Davis, they should be fine. It's defensively stopping people where they've got some big names, but guys who have, you know, they're on the downside. The Danny Greens, the Dwight Howards, these guys have seen their better days. So the better team in Los Angeles, for my money, and I picked them first time ever, I picked the Clippers to win anything. I never picked them to win the Pacific Division. Now I got them winning the NBA title, Steve, because they're going to play great defense. When Paul George, he's going to start the season, he's going to be hurt. You know, he's coming off shoulder surgery, but he and Kawhi and Patrick Beverley are forming a great nucleus at the defensive end for Doc Rivers, and we all know that Kawhi can close games. So that's why I picked I know you've been waiting for my big pick, but I'm picking the Clippers to win the whole thing.
I've already forgotten what I've asked you.
But, yeah, it's a long answer.
But, well,
that was a long answer. Forgive me, it was a bit of a filibuster. I'm trying out for the Senate.
You mentioned about, you know, it's a players league, which we, of course, know. And you mentioned about it's going to be the GMs that would get fired, certainly not the players if things don't work out. How about the Rockets assistant GM? Is he going to get fired?
Oh, you mean Daryl Morey, the GM who set off an international incident?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? That's going to be interesting to see what kind of year they have. Obviously, I guess the Chinese government, and there's been a difference of opinion. Adam Silver claims that the Chinese government wanted the league or the Rockets or somebody mm-hmm. to file Daryl Morey for coming out mm-hmm. with a pro-democracy tweet. That was the tweet, you know, heard around the world that caused all those problems for the NBA. You know, in China, they don't have freedom of speech like we do here, and so they don't understand why he shouldn't be drummed out of his job. But we'll see what happens. I mean, if the Rockets don't, you know, this is a year where Golden State has finally, you know, there's no more super team, as we know, Steve. That's another unusual thing about this year is that a lot of times there are super teams, and that's the way that it's in the NBA DNA, as they say. So there's no more super team with Kevin Durant leaving for Brooklyn, and now Houston has lost to Golden State, what, like four of the last 5 years in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Can't get by that team. We've seen that in the past with the Knicks and the Bulls, like back in the 90s, you know. So if Houston runs into Golden State again, let's say in the playoffs, and can't beat them, and who's to say Golden State makes the playoffs anyway?
They'll see what happens. They may make the playoffs, but they're going to have to do it without Klay Thompson and Iguodala. Yeah. And Kevin Durant.
Sean Livingston. Yeah, I don't know. They may not make the playoffs. And now they're saying, Steve Kerr said earlier today or whatever, that they might not have Klay Thompson. But the point being, get back to Daryl Morey, you know, if Houston has, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens with Houston. I'll tell you what, Mike D'Antoni, you remember him from the Knick days.
Sure.
He's a lame duck. They haven't given him an extension. So that seems to be a team that could face, if things get rocky there could be some moves. And we'll see how it works out with the old Oklahoma City guys, you know, Harden and Westbrook. They haven't played together since both guys were, you know, earlier in their career before they won MVPs of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a whole different ball.
Well, how is that going to work out with these two guys with only one basketball?
Yeah.
And both of them know how to lean into a defender beyond the three-point line to get themselves to the line to shoot three points.
Yeah. That's going to be fascinating to see how it works out. I think for a year it'll be all right. You know, it worked out all right with Chris Paul and James Harden when they had Golden State on the ropes a couple of years ago. Last year apparently they had a lot of problems, and that's what got Chris Paul traded out to Oklahoma City for Russell Westbrook. That's the big unknown. I mean, Russell Westbrook is going to, you know, he's a high turnover player, not good shot selection, and we know that James Harden under Mike D'Antoni has taken his game to a level of, you know, every year he's in the running one or two for the MVP. He's won an MVP. He's been second a couple of times. So, you know, he's one of these offensive guys, Steve. You know, like, he gets comparisons. His scoring outbursts are now compared to Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain. And by the way, you know, Daryl Morey came out in the summer. I don't know if you saw the quote where he tried to argue that James Harden was a better player, better offensive player, I think you said, than Michael Jordan. I don't know how the Chinese reacted to that.
Yeah,
that's a little controversial, too.
Yeah, well, now here's the thing, because, all right, so the Lakers and the Clippers, and we're talking with the Houston, a surprise team last year in the Western Conference, and we want to get to the Knicks, we want to get to the Brooklyn Nets, we want to talk Eastern Conference, but I do want to touch, last year they were a major surprise, the Denver Nuggets. They came out of nowhere, surprising a lot of people, and at home, they lost to Portland in a game 7. So they got that close to really competing for a championship, and they're a pretty good basketball team. Do you give them any chance to do a little bit better than, say, the Lakers and the Clippers and get themselves to the NBA Finals?
Well, it's going to be hard to get to the finals, but I think it can maybe get to the conference finals, Steve. They've got Jokic, Nikola Jokic, who's their big man, who's an MVP quality player candidate. And they've got Jamal Murray, who got big money, too, in the offseason. I think he got about $170 million. And, you know, unlike these other teams that have made a lot of changes and you worry and you wonder how everybody's going to fit, they're coming back with the same team. So you kind of like the continuity. And you mentioned the Game 7 loss to Portland, and Portland was kind of a surprise team getting to the conference finals last year. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes a young team that's learning how to win takes a playoff scar like Denver does, and they'll grow from that. They'll learn from that. It'll help them in the long run. And we'll see. They obviously don't have the Kawhi Leonard, the LeBron James, but you know what? They're an up-and-coming team, so it's bear watching to see. And, you know, they probably have the best home court advantage with that mile-high altitude. So they should have a big year out there.
Okay. And now most people like Milwaukee and Philadelphia to come out of the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And of course, we understand and we know from those two teams. The Brooklyn Nets, not the New York Knickerbockers, go and get Durant and Irving.
Yeah.
And of course, no Durant arguably for the entire season. I mean, that's maybe he shows up for the postseason. And the bottom line is the key here is Irving. He didn't get along with teammates. You blame them for everything in Boston.
Right.
He was not the good presence in the locker room. He has to be getting along. Durant, DeAndre Jordan, they're his good friends. So you would like to, and this is where he wanted to be, in Brooklyn,
right.
Not with the Knicks,
sure.
Not anywhere else in Boston, nowhere else. So he has to get along with his teammates, and he has to be the good locker room presence. And on the court, he's got to be the all-star for these Nets to really make a positive difference.
I agree with everything you said. It's a tall order for him. He needs a big bounce-back year. He, Anthony Davis, guys like that who forced their way, in Anthony Davis's case, forced his way out of New Orleans. In Kyrie's case, he had a disastrous year in Boston. Those are the guys. They've got to get themselves back in everybody's good graces. And in terms of their new fans, especially in Los Angeles and in Brooklyn, yes, what you said is 100% correct. And we'll see if Kyrie is up to it. It's a big deal. And, you know, I talked about the Clippers and the moves they made, the historic year. You know, if they didn't get, let's say they got Kawhi, didn't get Paul George, the Nets would have had the greatest offseason in the history of man, right? Mm-hmm. Getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I mean, that is unbelievable. I still can't. You know the history of the Nets. I know the history of the Nets. It is almost unfathomable that they were able to get those guys. And that speaks very well, obviously, of the job that Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson have done building a team where those two superstars wanted to come and play. So the Nets are pointed in the right direction, and I think there are a lot of Net fans who just can't wait to get to next year to see how Kevin Durant is, because coming off an Achilles, that's always kind of dicey there. But we'll see. But this year, Kyrie needs to get him to the playoffs, and you're right. He needs to be a much better teammate, better leader, better everything.
Were you surprised Durant, coming to New York, went to Brooklyn and not the Knicks?
Well, I'm surprised. Here's what I'm surprised at, Steve. The Knicks, after a 17-win season, when Jim Dolan came out and said, to paraphrase him, "Yeah, it's going to be a big off season for us," right? I think there was a lot of buzz that Kyrie and Kevin Durant were going to come here. The surprise was they didn't even get a meeting with those guys, which tells you that the Knicks are irrelevant for the big time, for the big superstars in the NBA. To not give that franchise even meetings, I mean, that's a pretty sobering thing for Steve Mills, for Jim Dolan, for Scott Perry, for everybody in the Knicks organization. And, boy, that's a brutal summer. I was surprised they went to Brooklyn, but it sounds like Kyrie wanted to go to Brooklyn all along. He grew up a Nets fan over here in Jersey. And it sounded like, although Kevin Durant says he's his own man, he just wanted to play wherever Kyrie was going to be, so they ended up in Brooklyn, and I'll tell you what, that's tough for Knicks fans because, as you know, they've been basically trying to get their act together for the longest time, and they haven't won since, 1973?
Yeah. And, of course, when Durant comes back, everyone is going to be wondering and taking a hard, a good hard look at Durant to see if he's anything close to what he used to be. That's number one. And, of course, the issue that you touch on here with Irving. And they have a good basketball team. And they have a very well-respected coach with Atkinson.
Yes.
Although Evan Roberts on The Fan thinks he doesn't call timeouts when he should. And I say that with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, a little bit with a twinkle in the eye. But they have some good players. LeVert is a good player, an excellent player. Jarrett Allen, I guess he needs to step up a little bit, and he's expected with a tremendous upside to help this team. How far do you think the Nets can go?
Well, I think this coming year they're going to have, if Kyrie plays to his potential and he's still a top offensive player, they're not going to win the East, but I expect they'll get into the playoffs, and we'll see what the matchups are. I think the thing people have to watch out for is, Kenny Atkinson has never coached anybody like Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. And, you know, it's one thing to coach a bunch of guys who overachieve and building that type of culture that way. And now you have the influx of a guy like a Kyrie Irving who can be a diva, who has a ring. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be some bumps in the road. I mean, you know, you could, you know, if Kenny Atkinson wants him to run something and Kyrie Irving looks at him and says, well, I got a ring, you don't. I wouldn't be surprised if that were to happen once or twice during the season. So it's a great problem to have, but it's tough. You know, the one thing is, it's hard to coach superstars. And sometimes superstars, and I'm sure Kyrie has to be on his best behavior here with Kenny Atkinson, but you know what? Superstars are looking at who's coaching them too, and this is his decision to come here. But, you know, we'll see what happens down the line. I mean, it's a tricky thing. You know, some players want to be coached by star coaches. Sure. So Kenny Atkinson's a very good coach, but he's an up-and-comer, and hopefully everything will go fine with those two.
Okay, and basically what I gather from what you have to say is that Portis, Julius Randle, Morris, Bullock, Gibson, RJ Barrett make up a Knickerbocker team that maybe Mitch Lawrence of SiriusXM with the NBA, that maybe they can win 30 games.
Okay. Here, if you're a Knicks fan, this is what you have to look for, to me.
35 games?
Well, and I'm not talking about wins. I'm talking about can Dave Fizdale develop R.J. Barrett? And what kind of player is R.J. Barrett going to be? Mm-hmm. He's the number three overall pick. There's a reason he didn't go number one. There's a reason Zion went one and John Morant went two. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you get out of R.J. Barrett as a rookie. And let's see Kevin Knox in his second year. What you get. And I know.
How about Mitchell Robinson?
And Mitchell Robinson. Great. Now, you know, these guys who were taken in the lottery, you're expecting a lot more. You kind of caught lightning in a bottle with Mitchell Robinson. He had a nice rookie year. You want him to obviously build off that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to build a team, Steve, and you know this, you're going to build a team for the future that can get to the playoffs and make some noise, you have to hit on these lottery picks, especially a guy like an R.J. Barrett, who's the third overall pick. So let's see what Dave Fizdale does. And that's going to be a big thing. And I know they brought in a lot of free agents when the plan A didn't work out, obviously. Durant, Irving, you know, Kawhi, Leonard, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they got these other guys. And we'll see who's around by the end of the year. We'll see who sticks. We'll see who helps. The other thing that I look at, too, is the Knicks point guard situation. It's like that never changes. That never gets better. How good is Dennis Smith Jr. going to be? What are they going to get out of Elfrid Payton, Frank Ntilikina? That seems to be a thing where the Knicks just cannot get that right, and that's been going on for like decades. So at a key position, as we know in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll start getting that turned around. But to me, if I'm a Knicks fan, yeah, I want to win some games. I want to see the Knicks get to 30 wins if they can after 17 wins. And in the East, who knows what can happen. But the development of the young players is crucial to see what you've got here with Dave Fizdale.
And you think Dolan cares about wins and losses when the only empty seat at Madison Square Garden for a Knickerbocker game is the one Charles Oakley used to sit in?
I think you answered the question yourself very well. And a lot less words than me.
All right, so who comes out of the East, Philadelphia or Milwaukee?
I think Philadelphia is kind of a team that's going to not come because Joel Embiid, their best player, is a little unreliable. And they just don't have a player who at the end of the game can get them a big basket. I think that's where they're going to miss Jimmy Butler. And I know you could say the same about Milwaukee, but I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to develop into that player. So I'm picking a Clippers-Bucks final, Steve. How about that?
Well, okay, if you say so. I'll remember you said it, and the next time we have you.
Mark the tape, yeah.
That's right. And it won't be a lost tape, I'll tell you that. So.
Oh, boy.
No. Well, they'll blame you, not me.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, I can't thank you enough for a little bit with your time, of course, and with the insight. And it all begins tonight already, and we're all anxious to see how it all works out. It's a long, long season, and then we get into the postseason, and injuries notwithstanding, teams and players coming out of nowhere notwithstanding, always a lot of surprises. And one thing that we have to get back to saying, and you brought this up when you talked about with LeBron James, who's 100 years old now and has to play. load management. I want to know who came up with that term, load management, instead of rest.
Well, you say instead of rest. I say instead of stealing, as in stealing money.
Well, you can, and certainly you think LeBron is in Hollywood because of he wants to win as a Laker. I think it's all because of his businesses.
That's right. That's why he went out there. But you're right. Yeah, the load management thing. It's going to be interesting to see how many games Kawhi Leonard, the king of load management, plays. Because as you know, Steve, last year he missed 22 games, but he kept on talking about during their playoff run and their run to the finals that if he didn't do that, because he was coming off that quad injury, he didn't think he was going to be able to perform like he did. So, you know, it's a copycat league. We'll see how many guys take cues from him. And we'll see. Speaking of load management, how about you on WFN? Are you doing any load management?
I had some a couple of months ago. So anyway, listen.
We're calling it rest.
A pleasure and continued success. And when you see Stevie Cohn over there at Sirius, please tell him I said hello.
I sure will.
Okay.
See him tomorrow. Okay.
Excellent. Well, that,
all right,
Mitch. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.